Good morning. I thank the Lord for his love and mercy and kindness unto me. I'm very happy to be here today and to be in the service of the Lord. I'm glad that all of you were able to make it, that you're here too. I'm encouraged and inspired by the songs that were sung this morning. Sunday school lesson was outstanding and encouraging to our hearts. I'm going to, this morning, try to preach a message on patience. As always, I need your prayers. I'm getting to a place where, greater than ever before, I realize that we need the Lord. And you're just not going to be able to do any of these things without the Lord. You know, we can read all the instructions, we can read the rules and the regulations, but what has to happen is God has to become a part of our lives. We have to have a relationship with him in such a way that he actually changes us from the inside out. And what happens is, when the inside changes, then the outside, the things that we are required to do, all the instruction that he gives us, what ends up happening is it becomes natural to us. It becomes easier for us to do, because he's living in us and he's dwelling in us and he empowers us, and our will is to do right anyway. And so therefore, he's able to bless us in that way. And so I want to talk about patience this morning. And we all know that we need patience. The scripture is found in our text scripture is Luke 24:21-14. Pray for us. In your patience possess ye your soul. Somebody get that scripture, Luke 21:14, and read that for us this morning. It would seem like that for us to possess something, that means for us to have something, right? But when we talk about the soul, our never dying soul, that's something that just because we have it doesn't mean that we can't lose it. All right. There's a scripture that talks about in the word. It says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And so just because you have your soul doesn't mean that you can't lose it. Right. And so in your patience, possess ye your soul. What it's talking about is being able to maintain and keep that possession, that prized possession. Would you read Luke 21:14, please?
Luke 21:19.
All right, so in your patience, possess you your souls. So just because we have something doesn't mean that we're going to keep it. There's an importance that is placed on the soul. The soul is the most important thing that you and I have. All right, if we lose our soul, we lost everything. There's nothing that we can have that has more value than our souls. And so patience and possessing our souls, there's a very important relationship between the two. I can actually lose my soul because I become impatient. I don't think we think of patience in that way. We don't think of it in that way, but what does the scripture say? In your patience, possess ye your soul. All right, and so what we know is that the enemy is always after our souls. The enemy is in-game oriented. All right, the enemy does not care how fast or how slow he reaches his objective in getting us to lose our souls. He's got a long-term game. He's got a short-term game. He doesn't care how he gets us, just as long as he gets us. He wants to get our souls. He wants to destroy us. He wants to kill us, and he wants to do us in, right? And so what the enemy is doing is he's trying to, some of us, he's working with us in the patience realm. All right? It's a sneaky realm. It's not something that we think about all the time, right? And so what he's trying to do is get us to become impatient. He wants us to get impatient with God. Right. He wants us to get impatient with ourselves and others, and I group that together, and we'll talk about that. And he also wants us to get impatient with our situations and our circumstances this morning. Right. All right? And so this is what the enemy is wanting to do to you and to me. All right? Because he knows that in your patience possess ye your souls. All right? And so he knows that I can cause damage. This is the enemy here. The enemy is saying I can cause damage to their very souls through impatience. May God help us this morning. All right, we are no longer, when we become a Christian, the brother was talking about it when he was taking up the prayer request. He was talking about becoming a Christian and being Christ-like and how important that was. When you and I become Christians, we are no longer our own. All right? For we are not our own, right? Oh, yes, we'll trust him while we'll live. We'll trust him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll reign with him on high. And so what happens is we not only give ourselves to God, but we give everything that we have to God, including our time. All right? We are not our own. And so God has a providence in our lives. He has the first pick and say so in your and my life. All right, I've got to give myself to God in such a way that everything I own is his first. All right, it is anyway, even though we don't know it, even though we don't think about it, we wouldn't have it unless he gave it to us. I don't care what it is, our intelligence, our strength, our good looks, whatever it might be, our money, it doesn't matter. God gave it to us, all right? And so when we become a child of God, what he does is he's calling for us to give what he already gave to us back to him. Right. May God help us this morning. All right? And one of the things is time. Our perception of time, our understanding on when and what should be done, how it should be done, and what way it should be done, all of that belongs to God. All right? And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to discourage us through our patience, right? And how we deal with the things that God allows to come our way. Sometimes we look at God and we say, God, I need you to do this thing. And I've asked you to do this thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. When are you going to do this thing? Right? So we get impatient with God, yeah. Right? Something needs to be done. God, you know it needs to be done. Even if you didn't know it, I told you about it a whole bunch of times. Will you hurry up and do this thing? Huh? We do that, don't we? May God help us. Sometimes when we do, I'm going to give you a scenario. We talked about it this little bit this morning. What about when we pray? We say, Lord, Lord, save my daughter.
Yes.
Save my whoever, you fill in the blank. And so we say, Lord, would you please save this one and save that one? And we're praying and we're praying and we're praying, and God is working and working and working and working, because God answers prayer, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He hears and he answers prayer. He loves us. Matter of fact, he is love embodied. That's who God is. If you want to know who God is love, right? And so he hears our prayers and he cares about our distress, and he wants not only us to be saved and remain saved, but those that we want saved, he wants them saved worse than we do. He really does. And so God saves them. That's what happens. The goodness of God leadeth sinners to repentance. The love of God reaches down. He deals and he works. Sometimes people don't even know they need salvation. And he brings them to the altar and they don't know what they need. And you deal with them and you know what they need. And God gives you that understanding and you pray and God saves them. But what salvation does is it restores the broken relationship that that person had with God, that relationship that sin broke, that the enemy broke, the love of the world that it broke, it restores that relationship, right? Amen. But then once they're saved, we think that they should be perfect from here on out. This happens. May God help us.
Yes.
Not only that, the same thing, I put self and others together. You know why? Because we do that to ourselves too.
Right.
You see? And so what happens is, not only do we get impatient with others, you're saved now, you should be doing better than this, better than that. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. The fact that we have to take the yoke on and then learn, that's time, all right? Learning is a personalized process. And so some people learn fast, some people learn slow. We have to allow for that. That's what God does. And not only that, we have to do that with ourselves as well.
Right.
Have you ever been in a situation, those of you that are saved, and you feel like, I should be done and over with this problem. I should be better. I should be further along the way. I'm sick and tired of bumping my head in this same place.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know that some people, let's parallel it with maybe learning in school, right? Some people are good at math, and some people are good at English. And so the person that's good at math, they're flexing themselves. I'm killing this test. You guys, what's wrong with y'all?
Right.
But in English, though, in English, not so much.
Right.
And vice versa, right?
Yes.
Well, same thing with our own experience. Same thing with others' experience. What you grasp easily and were able to pick up and run and do well with, all right, maybe that other person, that's not as easy for them. All right? Maybe they have more unlearning to do than you did. Maybe they have a greater learning curve than you do, right? And so let's not get impatient with others, and let's not get impatient with ourselves. Let's remember that Jesus, he saves,
yes.
Right? And he keeps us from sin. You understand? And so it's really, when a person gets saved, they really are the Lord's. And we're just there to encourage them, to help them, to lift them up if they fall. Because if not, I'll tell you of an experience that I had before. I got saved the last time I got saved. And I've been saved for a little while. And I may have told this story before. I'd say stop me if you heard this before, but maybe somebody else hadn't heard it, so you're just going to have to hear it again.
Amen.
All right? So I got saved, and I was saved for some time. I think it was some months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to look from the outside in, you wouldn't know that I was saved, but I knew that I was saved, and I knew that I was trying with all my heart to do right.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I had a lot to unlearn. I had a lot to learn. You see what I'm saying? And so I just was barely making it. It was a good thing if I made it to service. It was a good thing if I prayed that day, if I read that day. But see, what God, I want you to understand, I said that God is love.
Yes.
You understand? And so what happens is, God does not save people arbitrarily.
Right.
He has an investment in them.
Yes.
And so what he does is, even when you're struggling and you're going through difficulty and you're barely making it, he still loves. It says a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. God will hold on to you. Even sometimes when you let go, he'll hold on to you because he knows where your heart is. You understand? And so what was happening was, I was just barely making it and doing the best that I can to stay saved. And I finally mustered up the strength to stand up in a Wednesday night service, and I said, I thank the Lord for being saved. Please pray for me.
Amen.
That's all I had.
Yes.
That's all I had.
Yes.
And somebody came to me after the service, and they said to me, I didn't even know you were saved.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't think they intended anything wrong, but it pierced my heart. I'm struggling. I'm doing all that I can to live right.
Yes.
And it hurt me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so therefore, the devil had all the ammunition he needed.
Right.
All he threw the kitchen sink at me.
Right.
You probably ain't saved. You probably thought you were saved. Look at all this. You see what I'm saying? Look at this. And you did this wrong and did that wrong. Do y'all remember a brother named Peter in the Bible? Y'all remember him?
Yes.
Y'all remember him? The Lord had to help me with that because I about gave up right then, right? But he kept me and he held on to me. But it's a brother named Peter. And I want you to be thinking about yourself and others and your patience level.
Yes.
When you think about brother Peter, what Peter do when they came to get Jesus, what Peter do? Took the sword out, chopped his ear completely off.
Yes.
Was he saved? He was saved. You understand?
Yes.
So you have to understand that it's a growing process, not only for yourself, but for others. Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on the man and healed him right there on the spot. What about when they were saying, who knows this Jesus? I think you know Jesus. Remember that?
Yes.
What'd he do? I heard two answers. Want to make sure that we get both of them. One of them is he denied them. And what's the other one? He cursed. Right? It's a process. What happened was is they caught Peter in a weak spot. The devil caught him in a weak spot. He did something that he went and had to repent for. When we do wrong, we just need to be honest about it. We did wrong, and we need to repent. But what God does is he keeps holding on to us because it's the heart that he's concerned with. The heart is what dictates everything else. Remember I said in the beginning of the message, when God changes the heart, then we're able to do the right thing. And so he has to show us what's in our heart, even though we intend to do right. If we don't know what's in our heart, how are we going to do right?
Yes.
So he has to allow things to happen to show us where we're at. And then once we know where we're at, then and only then can we begin to work from a place of honesty.
Yes.
Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm sorry I did that. Change me, Lord, from the inside.
Yes.
I want to do better. I want to please you. Praise God. I want to encourage you to be patient with yourself. If God is being patient with yourself, how are you not being patient with yourself?
Yes.
Unless, of course, raise your hand if you got a heaven to go to. If you have your own heaven, let us know. You don't. We don't. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. And we don't have no heaven to take nobody to. So this is God's deal. So I have to be patient with God as he's being patient with me. I have to be patient with myself as he's being patient with me. I have to be patient with others. If he's being patient with me, doesn't that mean that he might be being patient with them too?
Yes.
May God help us this morning. And what's the last thing? This is the biggie right here. The circumstance and the situations, right? I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this boss. If he say another word, one more word, is all he got to say. It gets closer than that, doesn't it? My brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, my children. The man at the store, the person that cut me off on the road, whatever the case may be, in your patience, possess ye your soul.
Amen.
All right? The devil is trying to use that situation that is undesirable that you are in to wear your patience down to the point where you say, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do something different. And at that point, we began to lose. We began to lose. May God help us this morning. All right. I have some scriptures to go along with it. We'll first talk about being impatient with God. God has the right to his own providence. Remember that God is not only, and this is the big one right here, he's not only looking out for you, right? God is not only looking out for you, but just, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times the way we see it, and this is why we get impatient, because what's happening is affecting me.
Right.
And so therefore, I'm looking at me, and what's going on with me. And I'm not looking, even if we have the ability to look at the whole picture, we still don't have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to make the right moves like God would. Go to Proverbs 16 and 18, all right? One of the things that we need to understand that's happening is when we get in these situations where we get impatient with God, it's because we have a level of pride that is hindering us, all right? We think that we know better than God. When you peel back all the layers, that's really what's there. And so God said he resists the proud and he giveth grace unto the humble. All right? And he says, the pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There are so many people that are lost today because, God, you wasn't doing it how I wanted you to do it, when I wanted you to do it, and so I'm going to do it myself. And then I got into that situation like the prodigal son did, where I'm messed up. The only thing the prodigal son did right in that deal was what? He came to his senses. He humbled himself. See? He humbled himself. He said, I understand now, Lord. But before that, what was he thinking? Man, I got this. Look, Dad, first of all, you're old and you don't know much, okay? And so therefore, give me my stuff and I'm going to do what I'm going to do me, okay? You give me my stuff and I'm going to go and I'm going to do me. What ended up happening? Bad situation, right? All right? This is what we can do with the Lord sometimes. And but what happens is when we get out on the enemy's territory, listen to me, people that are growing up in the church of God with knowledge, okay? Listen to me. From the moment you go away from the Lord, the very second until if you make it back, he is going to be doing all the damage that he possibly can.
Yes.
Because he wants to damage you until you believe that you're beyond repair. God can fix anything.
Yes, he can.
But he wants to damage you and me until the point where you believe that there's no hope.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
God help us. Anything that we need, we can ask God for. God, give me humility, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me to be humble here. Help me to come under the teaching and the training that I've been given.
Yeah.
Right? Help me to look past the imperfection of the person that's teaching me and look to you and see if is it true what you're saying, Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Because the best I can do is the best I can do. I'm doing the best that I can by the help of the Lord to please God. And even in that, I'm going to be less than perfect at the very least.
Yes.
But the principle, the heart and the love that is behind it, the truth that is there is still there.
Amen.
Children, young people, get a hold of that.
Yes.
Right? What scripture did I give you? 16 and 18?
Yes. Pride goeth before destruction.
Right?
And a haughty spirit before.
Go to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, please. I have to realize that I don't see the full picture, and even if I did, God's wisdom is greater than my own. This scripture goes exactly with what was just said.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts,
okay.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
All right.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
All right. So what God is teaching us here is he knows best,
yes.
Right? Apply that to your walk of life with God, all right? He knows what's best. He's doing what needs to be done in the time frame that it needs to be done. And remember this, if you are in resistance to God, you are the one that is slowing down the results. If I'm the one that's in the way, if I'm disobedient, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, it's not God that's tarrying. It's me that's slowing down the whole process. God's way is best if human wisdom.
Yes.
A fair way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earth dim vision,
yes.
Earth dimmed vision, the truth can never clearly know.
Right.
God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see. I'll say that again. His way is best. I won't complain. Although the end of the thing, I can't even see the end of the thing. Sometimes we get impatient with God because what seems to be happening is not towards the direction that I need to be going in. I can't see the end of what God is doing because I don't have the ability to go to the situation, the circumstance, whatever the difficulty that it is that I'm going through, and see what God is doing on the other side. All I know is what he's doing with me. So focus on, by the help of the Lord, doing what God wants you to do in the situation. And let him handle the other people and portions of the situation. May God help us this morning. God's way is best. I will not murmur. All right, moving forward to self and others. Did time get away from me that quick? Lord, help us. Time always gets away from me. All right. Go to Psalms 27 and 14. Read that for us, please. I'm talking about the self and others thing, but just reiterating. And I want us to group that together, okay? Yeah. Think of how you treat others and how you treat yourself. Many times they will be very similar. All right? Maybe not in all areas, but in there will be some similarities in there. All right? So, what does it say? Psalms 27, 14.
Wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Be of good courage.
Yes.
And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
All right. So, we're waiting. We're not just waiting. And what the enemy wants us to do is to be thinking that what he'll tell us is, I've been waiting X, Y, Z, many months, many years, many days, many weeks, or whatever. That's what he's telling us. But he doesn't want you to get the other portion of it is, I'm waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
Waiting is one thing. Waiting on the Lord is another thing entirely.
Yes.
All right? And so when we're waiting, let's make sure that by the help of the Lord, what we're doing is not in contrary to the will of God, and that we understand and remember that God is working here.
Amen.
All right? Remember those that were walking around the walls of Jericho.
Right.
Yes. Does that make sense to you?
No.
If I'm a young guy, if I'm weak in the faith, man, how many times we gonna walk around these walls? I can't even say nothing. We just walking and walking. What's going on here? Huh? We're waiting on the Lord, see? We're waiting on the Lord. And sometimes what seems to be completely counterintuitive and illogical is how God chooses to bring the blessing.
Amen.
They walked around the walls and then they made some noise. I don't know if the walking loosened the bricks. I don't know if the noise loosened the bricks. I don't know how it exactly worked. But I know that what it was is their waiting on the Lord, their obedience unto the Lord while they were waiting caused them to gain the victory. All right? And so we need God to increase our faith, to give us the will and the courage to wait on him.
Yes.
All right? Because what happens? We step outside of the word and the will of God, and what happens is discouragement is coming. And discouragement comes behind the beginning. Behind discouragement comes backsliding. All right? I've been waiting on you fill in the blank for you. Whatever it is that's important unto you and that you need God to do, and I've been waiting X, Y, Z amount of time, and I'm really getting tired of this, and so what I need is for something to happen. You know, I want to encourage you this morning, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart.
Yes.
Wait, I say, upon the Lord.
Amen.
All right. All right, I want to talk a little bit about what we talked about earlier. I'm trying to speed it up, okay? So just be praying for me. You can't rush the healing process, what God is doing, okay? And let's remember that when God saves someone, I'm talking about dealing with others right now. I want you to understand something. Let's go to Matthew 18 and 23 through 30. When you read that, just read it straight through for the sake of time, and then we'll touch on what we can as quickly as we can so that we can get through this. But just be praying for me. I feel the Lord has a little bit more for us to get. All right?
Matthew 18 and 23.
Yes.
Therefore is the kingdom
Yes.
Given to a certain king.
All right.
To take account of his servants.
Okay.
And when he had begun to reckon,
okay,
what was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents.
All right.
But forasmuch as he had not paid,
okay,
the Lord commended him to be sold.
All right.
And his wife and children,
okay,
and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Okay.
The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me.
Yes.
I will pay thee all.
Yes.
Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion,
yes,
and loosed him and forgave him the debt.
Yes.
But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants,
yes,
which owed him 100 pence,
yes,
and he laid hands on him,
yes,
and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet,
yes,
and besought him, saying,
yes,
have patience with me,
yes,
and I will pay thee all.
Yes.
And he would not, but went and cast him into prison,
yes,
till he should pay the debt.
All right. This is our mindset. This is to open our minds and give us an understanding on when we're dealing with others, what kind of mindset we need to have.
Right.
We don't know how much we owe the Lord, mm-hmm, when he saved us. We have no idea.
Amen.
Sometimes I remember things that I did while in sin, and it appalls me, and it sickens and saddens me. But that's what happens when you're on the devil's territory. And so the debt that I owed, I can't tell you what I owed the Lord. I'm going to say that I was a sinner in need of salvation, and God had mercy upon my soul. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say I was a good sinner. I don't even think that exists. I think that's a figment of your imagination and an implantation of the enemy. There is no such thing as good sinners, because good sinners don't go to heaven.
Right.
Okay, so whether you're sinning in here or sinning out here, you're sinning, and you need the Lord to help you. May God help us this morning.
Yeah.
All right, and so the debt that I owe, what can happen is once I've been saved for a while and I've been cleansed and I'm doing a lot better, the lies I used to tell, I don't tell them no more, and that great change has happened. What ends up happening is we start feeling pretty good about ourselves. And I'm not saying don't do that. You should feel good about yourself. God has saved you and cleaned you up and made you a different person. That's something to be happy about.
Yes, it is.
All right. But don't let it get you into a place where, and this is the danger, where we forget the debt that we owed.
Yes.
And then we got the other person by the throat and say, listen, you need to get yourself together immediately. You see? Because that's how we do people sometimes. May God help us. We are forgetting his patience and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness and his long suffering and his bearing and forbearing with us. We're forgetting that because now we're in a better position. Remember what we talked about earlier. God saves us, which means that the debt that we owe, that slate is wiped clean. The sin that we had sinned, he remembers him no more. The relationship with God is now restored with God, right? But now comes the learning, the unlearning, the growing, the fruits of the Spirit, and all those things. That comes after you have been saved, and that's the journey right there. Okay? And so just like the journey was for you, those of us that are saved, it's going to be the same way for somebody else. And if they have some hiccups and some mess ups, make sure that you are, as we talked about this morning, a word fitly spoken. Lord, is this word that you have that I want to give to this individual, is it something that's going to lift them up or knock them further down? And the reason why we have to do that is because you're dealing with a damaged individual. The sin has damaged them.
Right.
What they have done has, they have guilt and shame and all of those things weighing down upon them. And so if you and me as the Christian, when they fail, we jump on their heads, that doesn't help.
No.
It doesn't help. May God help us this morning.
Amen.
So that's how we need to deal with others. And then also remember to deal with ourselves in the same way. Lord, have mercy upon me. My mother taught me when I wasn't saved, She said, you need to be saved. And she said, you need to pray, Lord, if you don't know what else to pray, pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes.
I began to pray that prayer. That's all I would say. I would say that at night. I knew I needed to be saved. I knew I was going in the wrong direction. I knew that bad things was going to happen to me and maybe others. I don't know. I had a bad temper. And so I began to pray, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. That's what I began to pray. And God heard that prayer from way up high.
Thank you, Lord.
He heard little old me.
Yes.
That was, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He don't wait until we're cleaned up. If he did that, he'd be waiting a long time, wouldn't he?
Yes.
I can't clean myself. The blood will work a perfect cure.
Yes, Lord.
Will cleanse the heart and keep it pure.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus cleanseth.
Yes.
The love of God leadeth sinners to repentance.
Yes.
Not only that, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? Bind up the brokenhearted, right?
Yes.
To preach liberty to them that are bruised.
Yes.
To the restoring of the sight to the blind.
Yes.
All of those things is what we need, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right? This is what we need. And this is how God deals with us. And he works with us all along the walk of life.
Yes.
All right. Last portion. Now, I'm sorry to have kept you, but just pray for me. This is heavy on my heart, and I want to get it out by the help of the Lord. Situations and circumstances. Somebody go to Isaiah 40 and 31. Somebody else get Genesis 16 and 1 through 5. All right. And we shouldn't be here too much longer. Just pray for me. Isaiah 40 and 31. Read that for us, please.
But they that wait upon the Lord.
All right.
Renew their strength.
All right.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
All right.
They shall run and not be weary.
All right.
They shall walk and not faint.
So it reads that they that wait shall renew their strength, right?
Yes.
That ain't what it reads.
Wait on the Lord.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They that wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
So what's happening in the waiting process, in our patience, we're possessing our souls, there's something that is occurring in that process.
Yes.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so even the process of increasing our patience, even the process of waiting, something is going on during that process. God has an intent and a purpose in it.
Amen.
All right? And so when we're waiting upon the Lord, be sure that we're getting the benefit of being in that situation and in that circumstance. There's benefit that come along with it. All right, let's go to Genesis 16, 1 through 5. This is something, a familiar scripture, and we know about it, but we'll read about it just to kind of give us an understanding. Our situations, our circumstances can get difficult for us. Maybe whether it be sickness, whether it be financial need, whatever it is, the human condition. It has something to do with the human condition. Whatever that is, we can get impatient with the situation and the circumstances. And what will happen is we'll make a move that's false, a false move. Go to Genesis 16 and 1, read down through verse 5. Read it all together, please.
Now Sarah, Abraham's wife,
right,
gave him no children.
All right.
And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, and Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and may be that I may obtain children by her.
Okay.
And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah.
Right.
And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be unto thee. I have given thy maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee.
All right, so what happened? Way back in Genesis 12, 1 and 2, 3, He told Abraham and them, you do this what you're supposed to do, and I'm gonna multiply your seed like you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he said.
Right.
But they were waiting and they were getting older and older. So this is kind of they're waiting on God, but they're also the circumstance and the situation is unfavorable because time is passing. And in their minds, they're thinking, it's becoming less and less likely that this is going to happen. I'm almost 100 years old. She's 90-some years old. This just ain't going to happen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to put my hand in God's business. Right? And so she went to Abraham, and I'm not demonizing her or talking down on her, but these are the things that can happen.
Right.
She went to her husband and said, listen, you got this handmaid, go ahead and go into her, and we'll help God do what he said he was going to do. We'll help him because it looks like he needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work out for Hagar and Ishmael? How'd that work out? Didn't do good, did it? She did conceive, had the son, his name was Ishmael. And then when he came and she had the son, she got mad at the woman that she told to go into her husband. You see that?
Right.
What I'm trying to bring out is we get impatient with the Lord, the situation, circumstance, and so we jump in there and we do something and then it doesn't work out and then we're mad about the results. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Let him do. God had a plan. God did give him a son. Did give him a son. He did multiply him, didn't he? But our deal is we can get impatient and then we do something. Listen, Sarah, she was mad at the handmaid. She was mean to her. She caused her to leave. But she was the one that said, go into my husband.
Right.
You see, I'm not on her. I'm talking about the situation and the circumstances and how we can jump outside of God's will and get ourselves into trouble.
Amen.
I need to wait on the Lord, don't I?
Yes.
Anything that God, I'm always going to say this, so just either just get used to it or not. I'm not concerned about that. I'm always going to say this because this is true. Anything that God wants us to do, he's going to help us. He's willing and able to help us to do it.
Yeah.
I talked about a couple weeks ago about loving on.
Yeah.
In order to love on, we'll need God to help us.
Right.
We'll need him to heal our broken hearts, to heal our bruises, to give us the eyesight that we need to have. And then he'll need to, when we get to the end of our love, we'll ask him for more. He'll give it to us.
Yes.
Patience is the same way. Anything that God is asking for us to do, he's telling us to do, is good for us, it's good for others, and it pleases God.
Amen.
All right? And so what God does, he obligates himself to help us with whatever it is that he wants us to do.
Yeah.
What we need to do is what Brother Johnson is always talking about, is furnish a will.
Yes.
The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And so if I be willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
If I refuse and rebel, I'll be devoured by the sword. And so if I am willing to have God's blessings in my life, if I'm willing to just, I'm not good at it. Let's just say I'm not good at it. I'm not patient.
Right.
I'm not a patient person. By nature, I've never been patient. Does that mean it's impossible?
No.
Can God help us to be patient?
Yes.
And put anything in that blank. Whatever it is that you need help, the Lord to help you with, God will help you with those things. I want you to be encouraged this morning that in your patience possess ye your soul. All right? It's very important that we obey and hear the voice of the Lord and obey the voice of the Lord. And if we are short, it's good to get the help that we need.
Amen.
While we're in a place where we can get the help that we need. My desire is to make heaven my home. My desire is to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to somebody else.
Yes.
My desire is for you to make heaven as well. Please pray for me. I will be praying for you. I thank you for your time and your attention.